Marlette with 12 as well. As far as rebounding is concerned, Harbor Beach had a one-rebound advantage, 21-20. Harbor Beach with 14 defensive rebounds, 7 offensive. Marlette with 16 defensive, 4 offensive rebounds. Marlette's largest lead was 18, 42-24 in that third quarter. And you don't need to rebound often on offensive boards when everything goes in, John.
Tell you what, shooting percentages are just unbelievable. Who comes into a enemy gym and shoots 55% for the entire night? This is just unbelievable. The way Marlette came in here, and they got off to such a great start, but all throughout the game, there was consistent effort. They went out there and just played hard the whole way from, you know, right from the get-go to the very end. Just to give you an idea of what kind of numbers the Marlette Red Raiders put up tonight, inside the arc, they were 20 for 33. That's 60%. That's just amazing.
What was that, 20 for 33?
20 for 33 inside the arc. Outside the arc, they were 4 for 10, which was 40%. Anytime you can shoot 40% beyond the arc, you're doing something pretty good in high school. For the Harbor Beach Pirates, they were 16 for 60 total, 26%. Not the percentage I know that they would want, but, it's just hard to play catch-up and realign what you want to do. And try to make a game out of this where they just got themselves behind the eight ball right from the get-go, and I'm sure they had to play with the strategies that they wanted to go ahead and employ against the Marlette Red Raiders. So 28%, 13 for 45 inside the arc. Outside the arc, they were 3 for 15, and that was the downfall, 20%. They couldn't hit that. Yes, free throws were really good for the Pirates tonight. But free throws for the Marlette Red Raiders, they made them count also. So that negates the final deficit right there.
When you take a look at the rebounds, turnovers, free throws even, not much difference. Harbor Beach made 22 free throws. Marlette made 19. Harbor Beach actually shot better from the free throw line. But the difference is just that hot shooting from Marlette. No matter what they did, Andrew Storm, of course, with 26 points, and a whole slew of free throws in that fourth quarter. It seemed that anything they tried to do, they could do, and they shut down Harbor Beach's offense with a strong defense.
Marlette has a reputation of falling in love with the tray. I mean, I've never seen an entire quarter where Andrew Storm would exclusively go inside the arc to go ahead and find his gold, and he found a lot of it tonight. And then in the second quarter, I was thinking, he's gone out to the tray land and he missed his first two shots. But he's a senior. He's smart enough to figure it out that, hey, look, if something's working, don't mess with it. I'm going to go for it. And I thought he really led this team to a victory single-handedly.
So, John Mooney, what's the rest of the schedule? What's the rest of the landscape look like now?
For the GTC East, this is going to be interesting because this is a home loss for one of the three contenders. So in that case, that's going to be very difficult for the Harbor Beach Pirates to get themselves in it. They're going to need help, that's for sure. And I don't really think that it's possible to win a championship for Harbor Beach unless it's going to be shared championship.
Marlette now. Let's take a look at their schedule from the rest of the way out here. Tonight, with a victory 71-57 over Harbor Beach, they have 5 remaining games left. And they have a biggie coming up at home this coming Wednesday. They host the Bad Axe Hatchets, and then they also host Memphis on Friday. Well, kind of the top of the world, bottom of the world there next week.
There's a lot of things you can say on that one. But I'll tell you what, that's a... that's a tall order, but you know, tonight they found themselves an effort, a consistent effort throughout the entire game. Probably the only time that they've ever put that together this year, with the minor exception of beating Harbor Beach by a few in overtime and having to come from a far deficit in order to go ahead and pull that off. But tonight it was, you know, right from the get-go. Great consistency for the entire team, and that was something that Coach Chris Storm was looking for the entire season, and he got it.
Marlette now has won 3 of their last 4. Lost tonight, snaps a 7-game win streak for the Pirates. Their last loss actually was, in fact, Marlette back on January 15th, 2016. The upcoming week for the Pirates, it's not going to get any easier. They are on the road at on Wednesday in Reese, a place High Reach historically has never really played that well at. And on Friday, they host the Sandusky Redskins right here.
Well, the Reese game, I don't know how that's going to go. It's a non-division game, so that really doesn't count the standings for the Harbor Beach Pirates. But Sandusky, now, you know, they've got to be absolutely, you know, on cloud nine, knowing that Harbor Beach lost tonight and that Sandusky has been snake bit on this particular floor for quite a long time. And now they think they've, I'm sure they think they've got a good chance, too, of doing the same thing that Marlette did. So, you know, stay tuned. This is going to be a wild race in this East, and you just don't know how it's going to end.
All right, John Woody, I'm going to put you on the spot right here. We are 75% way through the season. Most teams have 15 games under their belt. Harbor Beach at 11-4. Marlette at 11-4 as well. Sandusky and Marlette tied in first place with at 6-1 with a victory if Sandusky wins against Brown City tonight. Harbor Beach at 5-2. What's the rest of the way look like? What do you expect from the East? What do you expect from the West?
As far as the East, you know, flip a coin. This thing could come down to
the last game, March 3rd.
Yeah, it really could. Harbor Beach, of course, this being the second loss, they can't afford another. Marlette and Sandusky, somebody's got to come out a loser on that one. So this is going to be very interesting if Marlette goes ahead and wins that one, and if Harbor Beach can go ahead and pull out the Sandusky game. Hey, you got a three-way tie again.
And another loser tonight, John, you and me in our predictions.
That's going to be tradition now.
We both picked Harbor Beach. The standings are now, I have three wins, you have one win, we have three ties. Whether that's win, lose, or draw, I'm not quite sure.
I think that's more ties than I have in my closet.
Not quite mine, but we won't go there. John Mooney, final thoughts from tonight.
Well, it was a really stellar game for the Marlette Red Raiders. I thought they just came out here and they just wanted it more. They had the look on their faces, the look of determination, and they were out quickly, both by the score and also by their footwork. I've never seen them that quick in a game. They might start liking this gym after a while. So kudos to the Marlette Red Raiders. I thought they played a great game. For Harbor Beach, is shooting as poorly. Well, you know, hard word to use, but I'll tell you what, they didn't shoot at what they would want to shoot tonight. And to keep on clawing and trying to strike and getting it to 10 and just couldn't get over the hump. I know that that's just hard, and I know it's going to weigh on them, but you know something? There's no quitting this team. And so the Harbor Beach Pirates, they're going to be heard for another day. And, you know, watch out for the Pirates. They're still very dangerous in this East. As far as the West?
Can anyone catch Bad Axe?
Yeah, who's going to get them? Maybe nobody.
That's a very good question. And it appears, looks like Sandusky did take care of Brown City tonight. 53-35 over Brown City. For a victory there, and last we heard, USA was leading Reese. Bad Axe leads Lakers at the end of the third, 33-23. And not Plain sure tough. On anything else here so far. Keep track to WLW Sports Network on Facebook and Twitter for all the latest on details. And, of course, John, we will see you Sunday for the return to the baseline this Sunday at 7 p.m. with plenty to talk about.
Oh, we got just a boatload of things to talk about, and also the next time that we're going to be on the air will be besides the baseline.
Oh, of course, yes.
Is we have scheduled on Tuesday the 16th, Owen Gage visiting Caseville, and if you've never seen Owen Gage play, they've got a really nice team, and it's fun to look at. They've got three kids that can score the ball from anywhere, and the one thing I like about Caseville is those kids might have maybe six kids, okay? But they are constantly working, and they have a couple ball players that really give it their all. And you know, I'm excited to see how they do against a quality team like Owen Gage.
We actually have a doubleheader action next week.
Yes.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Owen Gage at Caseville on Tuesday, and then Wednesday, Cassidy at Ubley.
Now watch out for Ubley. Anyone that's going to be playing Ubley at Ubley, watch out. That's all I can say.
Well, thanks, John, for your efforts tonight. Tonight's broadcast of the WLW Sports Network was brought to you by DS Services of Cass City, Thumb Sailor, Graf Chevrolet, Kohler Propane, and Casey Yon, Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's